Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Curtis, there's nothing better. There is nothing better than the first official lineup, the first real lineup of spring in the great state of Florida where you currently reside after visiting Space Coast yesterday. Would you like the first Red Sox lineup?
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
Thank you.
Where is Drellick right now?
He's in a motel. Sleeping? No, he's in a roadside motel in like Cactus League somewhere.
I would not want to be that housekeeper.
With several people in the room. I don't know who they are, but several other people in the room with him.
Right.
But
you know what Drellick reminds me of? That guy in college that would just not shut up at 2 a.m. and just keep talking inanity for like hours on end.
Yeah, totally wired. Well, it was a fail by me. That was my Heim Bloom moment. We should have hired Drellick full-time. We didn't get it done. But here is the lineup today for your Boston Red Sox as they kick it off.
Right before you do this, I just want to get this off my chest. Oh. You said I'm a big picture guy, right? You listen to me. I kind of understand the world that we find ourselves in a way that is impressive for you, right?
Exactly. And that was a sincere compliment. I hope you're not going to mock that.
I'm not at all. I not at all. I just want a new rule for the radio station. Oh, hosts cannot debate players they never saw play.
Oh, so no Bill Russell talk.
Yeah.
Bill Russell talk banned on the radio station.
Unless you saw him play, your opinion on the matter is moot. Like, I didn't really see Larry Bird play. I don't know how great he is. I trust the people that tell me he's great. I listen to those that do. But if we got into a long with, like, when we debate Brady, we don't debate him and Unitas or Red Grange. If you want to talk about a topic and you want to say, I think a champion is more impressive than a guy that shines brightly for a shorter period of time, that's fine. But using those people, to me, it's like I'd rather, you know, put a Parmesan cheese grater on my foot.
Well, it's hard to even talk about Bird for some of us. I mean, you
I
grew up here
that.
And lived through Bird a little bit, but you were such a kid.
I didn't at all. The only thing I remember Larry Bird is him laying on the floor with back spasms.
All right, so we got to start from like the 2000s, the new.
No, but if Fitzy or Wiggy or Greg talk about Bird, I know they watched him. You know what I mean? Like it's if Keith and I get into an intense debate about Larry Bird, I would kind of tune out.
Well, Tatum brought it up, so it's really his fault from
exactly.
that standpoint.
Anyway,
but point well taken. Okay, here's the lineup: David Hamilton at shortstop. Leading off, Roman Anthony, the great Roman Anthony in left field, hitting second.
If this lineup was built in the day.
Seydon Rafaela hitting third and center. Carlos Narvaez, your catcher, hitting cleanup, former Yankee. Marcelo Meyer, the DH, hitting fifth. One of the great trades in modern history, the Vaughn Grissom trade, second base and hitting sixth, Curtis. Followed out by Abraham Toro, Trace Thompson, and Nick Sogard today. There is your Red Sox start. 1 o'clock today across the WEI network and looking forward to it.
So can I start totally? That's great. I'm legitimately excited about going to Fort Myers next week, covering this team, figuring it out. The Devers press conference and the reaction was great. I thought the biggest boob of the week is Casas. I don't think there's a close second, and we can get into that and we will.
Yes.
But I think today, off the bat, do we have the sound effect?
We don't.
Okay. The big topic today is why the most watched NHL game ever was an exhibition nobody ever heard of a week ago. And it really cements this thirst, this longing, this desperate plea of sports fans and Americans in general for something that is authentic, where people care. The reason Wiggy and all these and Courtney and everybody love reality TV is because they're trying to find some reality. Everything you see on Instagram is fake. Everything you see on these YouTube, TikTok, whatever it is, is people's best depiction of themselves, highly edited, talking about something they didn't know anything about a week ago, but now they're an expert on because they read one Wikipedia story.
Don't tell me they're edited. You're crushing my dreams and my...
So what that did, and the reason why there's been now this blowback by the Brian Windhorst of, why is something good in the NBA, in the NHL, bad for the NBA? Here's why. P.K. Subban was phenomenal in his reaction. The people cared. Thursday night at the Garden, you could feel the energy on Causeway. You could feel, you could touch, it was palpable, the pride that Canada and America had for their countries. It is what we have been thirsting for. And the NBA and the regular seasons of baseball, hockey, and basketball are all monotonous, just drama-free. And what the proliferation of social media can do is present us with an opportunity to hop on a viral moment before it's too late. And Saturday night a week ago set the stage for Thursday night at the Garden. And what that was, the pregame, we can get into a Ruzioni versus Gretzky, the biggest mismatch.
No, you didn't see it. You didn't see it live. We can't get into that.
What do you mean?
Miracle on Ice. Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the 1980 team.
No. I'm saying that the selection of Ruzioni against Gretzky was kind of a mismatch. But either way, what that night presented...
I thought Wayne was going to pat him on the head, like, good job. Like,
I thought Wayne was like, wait, where's the guy that's really supposed to meet me? But it really was something that we all want. More people watched that hockey game, not to mention every NHL game ever, which is absolutely banana land. It had a higher rating than every playoff game last year outside of the NBA Finals and the NBA.
The second, and I didn't even know this, was Game 7 Blues and Bruins, right? The reigning recent title holder for ESPN.
Oh,
anyway.
I thought it was the Canucks-Bruins Game 7, but maybe that's it. Either way, it was people wanted to see it because it was something that was real. It was felt. You could see the players. You could feel the way that the emotions of those teams were. And there was no build-up. There wasn't the bye week of the Super Bowl. You didn't even know the matchup was set until Monday night. And then you had the tickets go crazy. And what it symbolized was that we, deep down, just want to see people that care and are personally impacted by the outcome of the game, not just financially improved.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was inarguably great. So great that Marinaro called to troll Jones and Keefe yesterday, so it's back to the old Bruins-Canadians passions are coming right out. So I agree with all that. It's just, how do you replicate it? As you say, part of its charm, part of its authenticity was the spontaneity of it, the unplanned nature of it, and it's just hard to recreate that anywhere.
But you can understand what galvanized the nation behind the game. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you can show to your people and say, hey, instead of bitching about how many minutes you're getting on the USA basketball team or picking a fight with Nike or whatever, if you get out there and you show that you give a damn, we will get behind you. And the fraternizing of players, it's going to exist. You know, Brady and Manning were friends. Jeter and Ortiz are friends. Like, you can understand that there is a rivalry. Boone and Cora are friends, just like Tim Wakefield and Torrey were friends, and Francona.
Yeah.
But on the field in 04, the reason why that's had 6,000 documentaries about it was because of what it meant to Ortiz when he sat down with us and said he felt the pain of 03. What we've seen now is just people that are more fixated on all NBA teams or all pro teams or, well, how many votes did I get and what happened. And if you really want a future in your sport, you have to show that it's about more than just you. And that's why that was so popular. I mean, it's really remarkable that that game, the NBA Finals Game 4, which was in June with no TV competition whatsoever. We're in the middle of sweeps right now.
Yeah.
People are all in. There's a million things on right now. The Dallas Mavericks against the Celtics with a chance to sweep had 200,000 more viewers than an inane mid-season hockey tournament that replaced the All-Star game.
With Kyrie involved, which I thought would have really been some drama built in, but it just didn't translate. You're right about that. And, you know, I don't know if this is if you're pointing fingers directly at the NBA here.
No, baseball, I've mentioned it several times. Yeah. There's many, it's not just, and even the NHL regular season, by and large, doesn't have that feel. It's not something that you can create out of thin air.
Right.
But the foundation for it is that there was passion, and it was real. Whereas, you know, what you get in, you know, June 13th at Fenway Park when the Red Sox are playing the Orioles, you don't get that. You don't get the rage. You don't get the emotional engagement with the team. And that's why, of all the people on the Red Sox, the person that most resonates with the fan base is the manager.
Well,
because
it seems like
it bothers him.
And I would think, too, just sticking on that hockey game, if you spent $2,000 to get in, you probably came away feeling like it was well worth it.
You know, my God.
Much more so, you know, you trade in 10 Celtics games for that one event or whatever, you know, 20 Red Sox games for that one because you'll remember it. It was so rare. It was so unique. I mean, I would have loved to have been in the building. Greg got in. It took him a while. Took him a couple hours.
I got some snoopers on Greg that sent me footage of him not exactly watching the game.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. Greg was fixated. You probably watched, that's probably the first hockey game, including an overtime, that you watched start to finish since 2019.
Yeah, I mean, well, I have a hockey league pass, but it was because we all are searching for it, right? Like, we always joke, you go to the radio row at the Super Bowl, and there's 400 radio stations all saying the same thing, wondering why they don't stand out. And people want you to be who you are. And the reason the morning show's had success is that people know Courtney. They feel like they know Wiggy. They feel like they know me and Greg and everybody. Like, it's because it's if you are vulnerable and are actually showing that you desperately want to attain something, people will join you for the ride more likely than if you think it's a birthright.
Now, can I spin that back to the Red Sox and the week that they had, which included a Bregman signing, John Henry in a victory cigar, the Devers press conference you referenced, Cora throwing Chaim Bloom under the bus at the following press conference, and then Tristan Casas ripping all the big three and telling the minor leaguers to stay in the minor leagues. Is that authentic enough to pull you in? Are you ready for the week? I mean, is it? Are you in Four Nations level of excitement?
No.
I mean, it's good. It gave me some of the feels back.
Oh, it was so great. I mean, this was the time of year where you'd wonder which dead grandparent deceased again for Manny. This was when's Pedro showing up? How does he feel about what's going on? And it was a constant buzz. The Patriots would take you into mid-February, and then immediately John and Jerry would be in Fort Myers creating some controversy with Theo, Larry, Papelbon, Francona, Kurt Schilling, you name it. And where we are today is the team is legitimate. It's by far the second best team in Boston right now. Mm-hmm. It's not even a close, you know, obviously the Celtics stand alone, but the Red Sox have an opportunity to regain the fall. Something they haven't had in 20 years.
Very good.
And what they built and what they created this past week was organic, interesting drama.
Yeah,
because what you got from Devers was real, and it revealed to me the whole reason Cora was dead set on getting Bregman in the first place, which was the team needs a kick in the ass. They all think it's their job and it's written in stone, and they've had these awful second halves, and they needed a guy that I compared him to. Not apples to apples, but like the Patriots when they removed Lawyer Malloy and brought in Rodney Harrison. Bregman's a winner, a guy that can get under people's skin. You never have to question his work ethic, just like with Rodney Harrison. And what he's done already, I think, is why they brought him in.
Well, to that point, I was surprised to see Wiggy, or hear Wiggy this week, so critical of Cora and the way he handled this. So I kind of want to dive into that a little bit, but my overall question there is just, is this going away? If you read Pete Abe, if you listen to some others, our own Will Fleming was on yesterday kind of saying this is going to play itself out. Is this going to work itself out?
Well, what a take is that? I mean, obviously it's going to play itself out. Everything plays itself out.
I don't, not play itself out. I didn't phrase that properly. This problem will solve itself, I guess, as we get closer. Or do you think there's drama to continue throughout the year? Because I am nervous. For a day or two, like most people, I was really in the 90-plus win category, but This is delicate for Cora. I don't think he's mishandled it yet, but what he does in the next month is huge because Bregman's a short-termer, and you can't give him all the power. Devers is a 10-year guy. I'm curious to see and hear from you, Curtis. We'll tease this ahead, how you think this is going to play out. You can join us, even if you want to just bask in the passion of the sports week. 617-779-7937 on the Ken and Curtis Show here until 11, followed by Mego and Scheim. And then we've got Red Sox baseball at 1 with the lineup and more. Here's Zach Cohen. What's trending?
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins return to action tonight after the Four Nations break over at the Garden. They welcome the Anaheim Ducks. Bees will be without Charlie McAvoy, who's still battling a shoulder infection, and Hampus Lindholm has still not been cleared to play. Jeremy Swayman expected to be in net. Puck drop set for 7 o'clock. Red Sox open Grapefruit League play this afternoon in Port Charlotte, taking on the Rays. Sadon Raffaello, Roman Anthony, and Marcelo Meyer among the notable names who will make the trip. Quinn Priester gets the start for the Sox. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI 93.7 FM. First pitch at 1 o'clock. Celtics have a second consecutive day off after Thursday night's blowout win over the 76ers. They return to the Garden tomorrow afternoon when they host Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks. Tip off at 1. We are less than a month away from Selection Sunday as conference play heats up in the college basketball world. Slate today includes two top 10 matchups. First, number 6, Tennessee, heads to College Station to take on number 7, Texas A&M. Then, number 8, Iowa State, travels to number 5, Houston. Elsewhere across the country, a big WCC matchup as Gonzaga hosts St. Mary's. You can hear Westwood One's coverage of that one right here on WEEI, starting at 7:45. My name is Zach Cohen, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
So, Will, you've been boots on the ground for a few hours now, so that means I expect you to have a crystal ball, and I want to ask you a couple quick-hitting questions. So, opening day, third baseman will be?
Oh!
Did we lose you?
Alex Bregman.
Okay.
Alex Bregman.
So, the opening day, second baseman will be?
Christian Campbell.
Will Fleming, he'll be on the call today with Bradfoe, 1 o'clock spring lid lifter down in Florida, where Curtis is. And we got a couple answers there from Will, Curtis. He believes it's going to be Bregman. It's got to be Bregman. They paid him all this money. The front office is saying to Alex Cora, this is your third baseman. You got to play him there. It's just Cora's job to make sure the message gets across somehow, some way by opening day to Devers that he's going to be the DH. It's just, how does that happen? And is there a problem?
I would just ask you and anybody out there who doesn't think it'll be Bregman at third, why do you think Cora was so public? Do you remember him being this public in a pursuit of anybody since he arrived?
No, he tried to like hide his giddiness or couch it or cover it, but he couldn't. I mean, everybody knew he wanted a bad, and he got it done. To his credit, he and Breslow got it done.
Right, and so to me, the anger that Devers expressed about moving off the third base spot has very little to do with Alex Bregman and is entirely related to the manager. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever Bregman is, I'm sure he and Devers don't have a relationship. I know that Devers and, I mean, that Cora and Bregman are close. And all that occurred this week really took the flashlight or whatever, put under the microscope the ills of this team. Tristan Casas saying that young kids haven't earned it after he basically built a house with the Woo Sox, lied to a reporter saying it felt like he was being stabbed in the ribs, had to correct that comment, all while accomplishing really nothing at the big league level. He is exactly why Bregman's here, because all these guys got comfortable being mediocre.
Well, a texter points this out, Curtis, 978. Curtis, you nailed it. There was passion for the Four Nations. It felt like it meant something. And unlike Tristan Casas, who will take 3 months off for a bruised rib, that somehow he got doing what he's paid to do, swing at a baseball, That's the difference. It seems like it doesn't matter to him or many of the players. Why should it matter to us?
Well, the only thing that matters to them is their own standing, not relevant to the team. And if I were Alex Cora, I would, instead of having David Ortiz defend Devers on some radio station, I would have him look at all the guys from 04, 07, 13, and 18 that win, just like he did, and see how those you are forever remembered in this market if you do what's best for the team and win a championship. And there's nobody on the planet that could tell me that Devers is better for the team playing third than Bregman. And the last year, he had a brutal second half of the season. Maybe that improves his hitting. I find it tedious to get into the weeds and defend Cora and A and B say that this is going to be a big issue. It's not. It's never. The best players are playing in the positions they should play. Do you remember when Francona benched Folk in like the first week of the series of the season? This was, you know, Folk, the World Series hero, a guy that gave his career basically so that he could pitch every night and shut teams down to help the Sox win their first title in 86 years. Papelbon was better. Everybody knew it. It was Papelbon. And I remember Dale and Michael Hawley, you know, getting ready for the Francona interview saying, oh, God. And Francona was like, yeah, the best guy pitched.
So you agree it's sort of a non-issue, that it will work itself out. I am worried that Raffy, who's already, per Bradfoe's assessment, not in elite shape, is going to pout about this, and we could have, I don't know, Pablo Sandoval, but we have a couple years of, is he engaged? Is he... You know, is he sabotaging the team quietly? I don't like that. I just don't like that vibe.
And well, who's sabotaging the team?
Well, Devers, that he's not in the best shape. He's not. His heart's not in it, whatever. He feels lied to. You heard Cora blame Bloom, you know, that we got a new boss in town. That was a deal he made with the old guy. But from Devers' point of view, it's like the organization told him one thing. Now they're telling him something else. It's just, yeah, Cora can use the hammer and say you're DHing, and I guess he's got to listen. But it can still create a lot of problems.
Well, I got to tell you, what a brilliant reaction to the team bringing in a more talented player at your position. Put on weight and pout. That'll be how you get your way.
Yeah, I mean, well, but isn't that a possibility?
Okay, then he's just proving. I mean, then maybe he won't DH every night. I mean, the money's already there. They, you know, the Red Sox have won championship after championship with dead money. If that's what they have to do with Devers, it'll be what they have to do. But I can't envision a guy like Devers not hitting and getting his own numbers up for his own selfish interests. He's not going to be traded. Who would trade for that guy right now?
Well, nobody. That's the problem. Do you remember at Fenway Fest? Who can forget? You and I had a nice sit-down with Alex. And
AC. AC. Oh, how was Puerto Rico, by the way?
Puerto Rico was unbelievable. It was great. I mean, I missed all this action, so I was, like, missing my sports talk. But the beach, right. It was 85 every day. My God, it was beautiful. What is it today down to Jupiter? Your last day down there, right?
It's been chilly. It's about 70 today. Yesterday, I went to Cape Canaveral, Kennedy Space Center and stuff. Awesome. You, ooh. Ken Laird, would be in your element. But anyway, go ahead.
And is Elon taking over? Or what is it? What's the name of it?
Well, so Megan, our good friend from Boston, Grover is her dog, best friends with the Pudge Man, saw him yesterday. And Chad is working on a brand new spaceship where he is in charge of all tiling that prevents overheating upon reentry. Ooh. And there's thousands of these tiles that he has to go through. And if there is even a pen ink size malfunction, the entire spaceship blows up.
Jeez.
And so he has to save the people on board. And then the launch is in December. He works 3A to 3P 7 days a week, but with one weekend off every other week until December on this specific. I mean, it's unbelievable how these people do. It's just, this you might just take it for granted.
This might spark James to be a rocket scientist.
Well, he loves Patricia, so.
All right, so anyway, back to Cora. You and I sat down with him, and I asked him about the move to first base. And I thought it was interesting, because I think this is where Cassis is really upset. He thinks Devers is going to, they're going to put Devers at first. That's the long-term plan, and Cassis is out of here, and he knows it, and that's why he's telling the young guys to stay in the minor leagues. Here's that little exchange we had with Cora.
And if you think about it, the guys that struck out late in the season, they were striking out early. But the guy that really struggled was Raffy. You know, like Raffy, you know, hit like 180 in the second part of the season. You know, and if we can get the big guy going and get the kids going around him, we'll see what happens. But the offseason is not over yet.
Can he play first? I mean, not to get into, like, is it easy for a guy to go over there and play? No, maybe not this year, but down the road, it can be done.
I think the perfect example was Bryce Harper, right? He went from right field to the IL to be a first baseman, right? And he's done it. Vladdy did it, you know. But, you know, like I said a few days ago, and this is all speculation, right? Like, if something happens, you know, and we decide that Rafi is not going to be our third baseman, he'll be the first one to know. And that's something that, you know, we have to do. That's something that I want to do, you know, because if not, I'm going to lose respect, you know, not only with him, but the rest of the industry, because that's how it works.
So listening back to that, do you agree that was the plan, Curtis? They're trying to move him the first eventually, like Bryce Harper, like Vlad. But he was very worried about how Devers was going to take it. You could even hear in there, you're going to lose respect.
Well, I do wonder on the back end of that, does that mean, do you think Cora first heard Devers talk that way in front of the media?
No. I think from listening to Cora talk, he knew it was coming. At least he said that. They met with him on Friday. He knew he was pretty adamant against it, but they wanted to give him some space. You know, it's going to.
And did anybody ask Devers about the Arenado pursuit? Like, it was. This was the plan, even if it wasn't Bregman.
Right, right. Devers must have seen that. He must have heard.
So, yeah. I mean, that would be, like, to me, Bregman is perfect for this in that it's nothing like what he dealt with as an Astro the last 5 years in terms of being under the radar, being questioned. Like, he's been built to be prepared for what may come his way, which would be a fraction of the nonsense he dealt with over the last several years with the Astros, conspiracy theories, every ballpark. You know what it was like. I mean, those guys, and he was one of the faces of that team, one of the most publicly, you know, outspoken guys in defense of their honor, and they won again despite everybody saying they wouldn't. And that's what this team needs. As much as it needs Bregman, who's great at third, you know, they need better infield defense. How often did Cora talk about that last year?
Yep.
But they also, to me, as much or more, need a guy that is going to hold players accountable. And Casas and the team coming to a confrontation or inflection point last year when it related to his time with Worcester was the end of it. Like, they don't have nobody's got time for that. He is a guy that may be a great hitter in the big leagues, obviously immensely talented, but I want no part of that guy on this team for the long run.
Well, maybe they trade him then. And would that appease you? Devers goes to first, they trade Casas.
Of course.
That solves it. I mean,
absolutely. Aren't you a better team?
I think so, as long as Devers is happy. As 603 texter points out, if Devers isn't happy, the team won't be any good, period.
Oh, God. Stop it.
Well, he's the superstar. He's the face of the franchise.
Pedro wasn't happy for years here. He was the greatest ever on the mound. Like, Manny was miserable, and he hit 40 home runs and 120 RBI every year.
Take it from me.
Stop
it. As a manager, it is very difficult to appease elite talent. It is very challenging. It's a delicate situation.
Yeah, it really is.
Cora is in a tough spot here. I don't see this going away quickly. I know you think.
Oh, by the way, quickly on that, I haven't seen you in a while. Is Griff, he has a car too, right? Or do we all have one?
All packing in one.
What?
What would you could fit five.
Rick's going to have to get there much earlier than the rest of the crew.
No, he's coming out with you guys. Doug's got it all set up for you. Doug Lane is ready to go.
Do you know how many people that is in one car?
We'll be fine. What kind of car did you rent?
I don't even, I mean, I have to go back. I have to get like a freaking expedition here.
We'll do that.
I have no idea.
Get the Escalade. Come on. This is a high quality spring training broadcast this week. Can we go to the phones, please?
I hope you're kidding.
Okay, let's go to Swampskin. Talk to our buddy Rob on the Sox drama. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Good. So I'm hearing you guys talk about Devers moving over to first.
Yep.
You got Bregman. They paid him big money. I get all that. Odd man out here is Casas, and you guys just said it. I was bummed out when I'm listening, because that's why I called.
Yep.
But Casas is the odd man out, and you need to dangle him to a team that needs a first baseman and is willing to give up a true number one setup man that they have under control for at least 2 years. That's what you need, because the Red Sox bullpen, I'm sorry, it took a big hit in the offseason.
Yeah, that's not a bad call, Rob. So you're saying you trade him in the next couple weeks, right? That gets done soon.
You're right. I'm saying explain to Rafi that first base is basically third base without the throw, and you've got to learn how to position your body for the throw over for the pickoff, and then the pitcher, and then toss to the pitchers on the quick comeback as to first base. Those are the two extra skills he needs to learn, but he doesn't even have to throw the ball anymore. It's a reactive position. It's a corner position. If you can make the play at third, all you got to do is make the play at first, and you don't even have to make the throw.
It's true. It's true. Great call, Rob. And Devers struggled going to his left, like in the gap there, Curtis, as you know well last year. That play to his left is the one he struggles on. So you just get him at first on the hot corner on that side, and all is good with the world. I love that. And I know you this week are going to be going through the relief pitchers and evaluating the need for the setup, man. That's one of your assignments.
Yeah, I'm usually field six. That's mine. So
Justin Wilson, does he still have the gas? Is he a loogie? Can he go both, you know, against both left and right? That's important.
I also will say this. Shocked it's 35 minutes into the show and no Ottavino Northeastern mention.
Like, I know. My God, I love exciting. The double zero, believe me. But I'm a little concerned. He still has it in the tank. Let's go to...
I remember when that was the guy we all wanted the Red Sox to target.
Well, maybe he's got a resurgence, you know. Let's go to Josh in East Hampton. Hello, Josh.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a comment on the Red Sox drama. I get really nervous when I think about, you know, July, end of July coming and into August, and how, you know, if they're in the race and not a clear away playoff team and that slump happens again, you know, I think the drama will really all come out. And I'm wondering what you guys think would be like the breaking point for, you know, this team during the season, like what kind of things might happen to cause, you know, everything to spill over, because we all know winning cures everything. So if they're clearing away, you know, leading the division, or, you know, they look like a clear playoff team, you know, we won't care about the drama. We'll just be celebrating. But I want to know what the breaking point might be for, you know, us to finally see all this drama spill out. Is it just Devers? Can Devers be the lone personality to really bring this team down, or are they going to split into factions? Like, I don't really know, you know, how this team will fail, because I look at the talent and I'm just excited as a fan.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, where's
the
breaking
it's the first Sox team that's worth your time in a while. And I, you know, begrudgingly, because Ken's a honk, we talk about him in years past, but they didn't deserve it. And the reason I'm excited about next week is that it's a legitimate team that should be in the playoffs and should be, you know, making noise in October. And I don't understand, like, maybe it's just the generations, you know, I'm old now, I'm 41, but growing up, I was taught to hate guys like Tristan Casas. Like, what a loser. Here you are with an opportunity on a great team, and last year you took the opportunity and you peed down your leg. You stuck in Worcester and you decided to make an ass of yourself. And now fans are on the side of Tristan Casas when Henry finally goes into his wallet and spends $40 million real dollars on a guy that's going to improve your infield defense, which was your Achilles heel the last several years.
Are they on the side of Casas?
Like, I don't understand.
I don't feel that. Do you think that's universal? I mean, some people...
Anybody that defends Casas, to me, is a gigantic boob.
I mean, he definitely, when he's a 30-home run hitter, when he's bombing them, it's impressive. And I can understand getting sucked into that. But don't
right.
you think...
And he's reliable. He's going to be out there every day.
Well, that's the problem. No. He hasn't played a full season yet. Don't you think that pissed off Cora much more than Devers' reaction? What
of
Casas
course.
Said,
that, not even close.
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough one. And I think it'll expedite his exit out of here.
Yeah, I think the Cora Devers thing will boil hot, and then we'll forget about it, and they'll be hugging in the clubhouse. That's why Cora's here. If this is Renicky, you're in deep trouble.
now, our man Pete Abe in the Globe, here's his write-up on it. Devers has a valid point. The Sox signed him to a 10-year contract extension in 2023 that included a promise he would play third base well into the deal. Unenforceable as that may be, they made it. He put his trust in the team, it went back in its word, and he's upset. You'd feel the same way if your employer did that to you. Sorry, you're not being assigned an office. Share a table with the interns. Your thoughts on Pete Abe defending Rafi?
Well, I don't know if that's the same story where he said it's not going to be an issue and he's going to move off a third. But
yes, pretty much.
I have... You know, I find it really hard when we try and compare any of this stuff to real world jobs. But if this was the NFL, Pete Abe would have a point. But every cent of that contract is guaranteed no matter what.
Yeah.
If he never takes an at bat again and gets injured in spring training and he has a career ending injury, not like there's those anymore, but work with me, he will get every dollar of the $300 million he was guaranteed. And this will actually, I think, enhance his value at his most, you know, the reason this will enhance his ability at the reason he was signed to that extension in the first place, which is at the plate. And I guarantee you he's been, you know, embarrassed. He's been trying to get better. I don't doubt that for a second at third base. But the reason he reacted that way is because he knows that's his only defense. Because the Bregman defense is much better than his, and right. he's not going to win the battle at third base.
And you said it like so, it's to his benefit to just focus on hitting. Why wouldn't he like see the way it ended last year and embrace that? I mean, eventually he's got to come around to that. This is better for me. I mean, yeah. unless he's just so stubborn, there's some kind of, you know, I don't know what it is surrounding playing the field. Like, you feel like you're relegated to just DH, like you're a halftime play. But Ortiz is his guy, right? I mean, God, I mean, of anybody to talk sense on it would be David Ortiz.
Right.
Let's go to
my favorite text of the day. If you grew up Catholic, Curtis, you were taught not to hate. Yeah. Okay. Different Catholicism than I had my upbringing there, Chief, but we'll see.
Let's go to Johnny Cakes in Saugus. Good morning, Johnny Cakes.
Hey, guys. So what is so bad about Devers playing third base? I know that this guy is a better
He's not
fielder.
Good at it.
He's not good at it, right, Curtis?
Well, that's what's so bad about it.
But I mean, can't we just placate the guy?
And keep him happy
$30
million
isn't
enough to placate him, Johnny?
Yeah, I guess not. I guess you're right, Curtis. I don't know. I'm just trying to find a way through this mess.
Well, it is. I mean, I understand Johnny's like overall sentiment is just like, can we just figure this out? Let's make Rafi happy. We want everybody to be happy. It's just not that easy given their current situation. Unfortunately, Bregman is not a perfect fit, right? I mean, in a perfect world, he's a second baseman by trade. He's not. He's a better third baseman. It's a good problem to have, but it's a problem.
Can I ask you a question, Ken? At this date, 2013, do you think John Lackey was happy?
No, I would say probably not.
On this date, 2018, do you think David Price was happy?
Oh, Price was always happy. He was a good had a good Catholic upbringing, I'm sure.
And those two gentlemen who had their ups and downs with the fan base became World Series heroes.
They did.
And that's the only thing that matters. Schilling and Pedro didn't get along. I'm sure Schilling bothered everybody. I mean, he's Schilling. And he won two World Series here because the team was really good, and he was damn good at what he was paid to do.
You can join the program. 617-779-7937. Is the Red Sox drama something to concern yourself about, or will it go away? Will it work itself out? Is it a non-issue? It's also free agency in the NFL coming up in a few weeks, Curtis. We don't talk to any Patriots today. We'll probably weave that in as the show goes along because they have some choices to make. The Vrabel era, even though they're a 4-13 team the last 2 years, they still, of course, generate a ton of interest. And it's... As you said to start the program, just the Four Nations magnificence dominated the week. I mean, it was something. And now the Bruins come back to it tonight and pretty much have no choice, right? I mean, McAvoy was ruined, so they got to sell. They got to sell here over the next couple weeks. We'll talk about it all anyway.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Done on ESPN. Final call of the Four Nations in overtime. Connor McDavid with the game winner. Bennington does it again at TD Garden. Sean McDonough finished that. And Sean is awesome. That he and Ferraro are just a world-class combo, Curtis. It was awesome to listen and
they
watch.
They met the moment. And yeah. So did Boston. Like, I don't know how many cities in the America or North America would have had that atmosphere that night. Like, it was just, you could feel it through the screen.
And how about you, like, tweeting about hockey? I mean, at the... _ Chris Curtis X Twitter account, like passionate hockey tweets. Never would have thought it would have happened. Unbelievable.
I mean, if that didn't get you in the feels, I mean, that's why we love this sport. We love sports. Like, that was awesome. And it was a, it really, if teams and leagues do not learn from this, it's on them. Like, it's not about, oh, let's do, you know, OGs versus these guys. Let's not make the All-Star game count, Bud Selig. Let's actually do things where players are, you know, legitimately engaged in trying to win. However you get there, I don't know. But that's what made people – that's why that was a transformational night in the sport. That's why it was the most watched hockey game ever, not Olympic, in American TV history.
It was the most watched NHL game since the league returned to broadcast television in 95. 9.3 million viewers on ESPN per Nielsen, topping Game 7 of Bruins and Blues in 2019, which had 8.9 million viewers on NBC. So that is amazing. And you have a new favorite, Brady, as you pointed out. Brady Tkachuk, they got to make that trade. I mean,
God, I would take Tkachuk over Tom any day of the week. Love the man.
And does Marchand get traded here in the next few weeks?
Oh, absolutely. God, I can't wait for that to happen. I am rooting for that harder than I rooted for United States on Thursday night.
They are only a point out. I mean, they're a point out of the wild card, right. But they have a couple games in hand against, so it's going to be challenging.
And I also really wanted the Americans to win so Sweeney would lose.
You can join the show, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jack in the Fenway on the Sox drama. Hello, Jack.
Hey, guys, good morning. But quick aside, I do agree. I really want the Bruins to miss the playoffs. Then we can finally get some fundamental change, hopefully.
Yeah.
But just quickly on the Devers thing. So obviously, no one's going to dispute Bregman's is much better position than Devers. The only problem, like, I kind of see is how the lineup sort of shapes out as a whole, like, depending on how things go. I still don't think it would be the worst if Bregman wasn't second. I think he's a lot more versatile, at least to start, you know, for the time being, just because you guys kind of touched on this, but you have Yoshida, DH, and Costa first. If you trade one of them, I obviously would be great to get. I wouldn't mind getting Costas out of here for a good return either. But the other thing is, you know, you have to get rid of one to move Devers there, and then you have to make sure you have someone at second. So you either have probably Campbell, who's, you know, hopefully he's ready. We don't know. And then the alternative is Vaughn Grissom, and we kind of saw how that looked last year. So I don't know. That's kind of the way I view it. It just depends on how things shape out.
Well, that's why it's important to send Curtis to spring training next week. He's got to figure out these answers, Jack. Thank you very much. And you better be watching Vaughn Grissom, who's in the lineup today, Curtis at second.
My favorite Vaughn, Red Sox history.
What about the big closer Vaughn in Major League?
Or Vaughn Eshelman or Mo?
Or Mo,
Ricky Vaughn.
Ricky Vaughn is the best. But he's right about Yoshida's weird, right? Are they going to try to move him? Because Cora is saying they got to play him in the field this year, and he's coming off shoulder surgery.
Both Sam Kennedy and Alex Cora have said repeatedly, unprovoked, they're not done. I fully believe that these questions will be answered by the end of March.
They just got to pray Trevor Story doesn't get hurt, or one of these guys in a week, you know. We're talking about Walker Buehler, torn rotator cuff or something.
Well, last year it was Giolito and pray for rain. I mean, that was what happened. I mean, this team is legitimately good. The players are actually, you know, you call them the big three, which is kind of pathetic. But
Shaughnessy went with the Beatles. That was a weird headline. It's just Boston's Beatles.
What happened to Dan Shaughnessy? whatever they are. Well, was this the Beatles after Lennon was shot?
I don't know. There's three of them. There were four Beatles. I didn't get the whole thing. It was a bizarre headline.
Right. I mean, far be it for me to correct someone on musicology, but I think there was four. But either way, well, it's better than the Greg Hill Show doing the five members of Mount Rushmore. I think that when it comes to Casas, he did the organization a massive favor. As enraging as that must have been for Cora, that is the easiest way to grease the skids for his departure from Boston. Because
that's a good point. And light a fire under Devers.
Totally. And, like, how do you – teams aren't – you know, I know baseball's different. But teams aren't supposed to be happy-go-lucky in the middle of a competition. And what – I'll go back to it. The 03 Patriots were coming off a 9-7 season where they missed the playoffs a year after they had won the Super Bowl. And Bill Belichick believed that Lawyer Malloy was – having too much fun with Tom Brady off the field, and was not bringing out the best in his teammates. Rodney Harrison was available. He brings in Rodney Harrison. He trades Laura Malloy. And we all remember that led to 2003 week one NFL primetime, where we were told they hate their coach and they lost 31-0. Then the season ends in the final regular season game. The Patriots beat the Bills 31-0 at Gillette Stadium. It wasn't easy in rainbows and sunshine from the beginning, but it got the best out of the players on that team while finding someone expendable that people had thought was valuable the year before. Tristan Casas can be Lawyer Malloy. Alex Bregman can be Rodney Harrison. And you can have a team that was mediocre after being a championship contender get back to that point.
And actually, the big three is huge, because even if it doesn't go well the first month and there's all this drama and things, you know, whatever, they underperform, the hope of those guys coming in either one wave or multiple waves will keep fans engaged. So do you think, like, sneaky genius, because last year they weren't competitive. They didn't spend. It was obvious in hindsight and pretty much during. They were not spending on the year. They were taking a year off, right? The payroll dipped below top 10. They didn't feel like the company line was, when we feel like we're ready to compete, we'll spend. Did they at least live up to that promise, that Sam Kennedy promise?
I do. I think they did. I mean, listen, my baseline is to rip the Red Sox. That's just how I was raised.
I know.
But I sit here, and what John Henry did with Bregman was far more important than whatever Bregman will bring himself onto the field. He legitimized the team and legitimized the ownership group as being back at the table. And that cigar photo shows you that Linda and John knew how important that was.
Right.
And what it meant. When else has she ever posted something like that? And so it was a statement.
It was a sign of life, which was great. I mean, God.
Ken, that was a statement to the rest of Major League Baseball, a statement to the fans of this organization, and a statement to Devers and Casas and the guys that have been getting fat and happy on a mediocre baseball team, that we no longer find it to be acceptable to get to 81 wins. We're no longer going to have our president join the Greg Hill Show and bemoan the fact that we're barely breaking even. They are going to invest, and that's what that meant. And it gave core, because to me, I would be asking today, if Bregman signed with the Tigers or the Cubs, well, then why did Cora accept that signing? Like, why would you agree to go to this organization that so clearly doesn't give a damn about what you say when we all thought you were going to get a bigger seat at the table? All the issues that Devers and Casas have with Cora are because they realize how outsized Cora's power has become in the organization, and that it's not like they can go up the back stairs to Heim or to Sam or O'Halloran or whoever else. Their manager is the one that has the biggest voice when it comes to roster development.
He makes that Sam Kennedy statement that, what do you say about Cora and Bloom, that I've never seen a manager and GM closer in my life or something like
God.
That.
One of the great mistruths of all time.
And Cora throws him right under the bus. First excuse this week about the Devers thing is, we have a different boss in town. That was a promise from Bloom.
But that was obscene even on its face.
I know. It's great. All right, they're at $240 million. Seventh right now. I'm looking at my baseball prospectus payrolls, projected payrolls. So they're back in the top 10, not top five yet. Maybe there's more.
Should I offer Sam a mulligan in Fort Myers this week about that? You know,
I
we all know now. It's
yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Just tell us.
Come clean. I agree. It's going to be a great week. God.
Oh, can't wait.
And you and Dan Shaughnessy and you and Pete Abe just like elbow to elbow.
Dan and I get along. Pete Abe, I actually read a story. Dan Roach, boy, that guy has a potty mouth. Yikes.
All right. Kenneth Curtis here until 11. Mago and Shime on the way after that. And there is more cap space in the NFL as well. Does it mean the Pats will spend? We'll discuss.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.